This week on the Time Bat Show,
they're just like, Expelleramus! And then you're like, what? And he's like, Expelleramus, I win!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Time Bat Show, episode number 121. I'm one of your hosts, Time Aces.
And I'm your other host, Bat Snacks.
And we have a lot to talk about, I feel like, on this episode, don't we, Bat Snacks?
Yeah, we do.
We have, like, a lot of topics from the world. First, I want to get out of the way, because it's funny. Before you know where I'm going with
this. Yeah, I know. Come on. This is funny.
So we frequently do this right after I get off work, right after you get off work. Well, you usually get off work a little early, but yeah. We usually do this like after work, obviously. We're doing it right now after work. And usually I haven't eaten any dinner yet. And if I wait to do it after the show, then I'm really hungry because it's like 8:30 by that point, my time, and I'm like, okay, I'm really hungry. So today I was like, I'm going to have a sandwich before I do the show because I bought sandwich meat last time at the store and I was like really excited to make a sandwich.
Yeah, good call.
So I'm like making this sandwich and I realize that I have no condiments, like at all. I have no mustard and I have no mayo. And the problem is last Sunday when I went to the grocery store to get like all the stuff for sandwiches.
Yeah.
When I came home, my fridge was too full. So I did one of those things where people do where you're like, screw it, I'm just going to throw a bunch of the crap in the fridge away. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I threw out all my mustard, all my mayonnaise, blah, 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 because I thought it was like old and stuff. And so I was making the sandwiches. I was like, I literally have no condiments. What am I going to do? And there's like this jar of Ken's ranch dressing. So I was like, well, gotta have something on the sandwich.
Are you like me where if there isn't some kind of cream-based fatty something on my sandwich, it's just not the same?
It feels wrong. Like, yeah. It feels bad. Like, if I eat a sandwich without a condiment, I'm like, this is dry. I don't like this.
Meat and nothing.
Meat and bread. Not enough. Now, if I had, like, a creamy cheese, like, that might be okay.
Yeah.
But, like, I just had cheddar, you know, regular old cheese on this one. So, you know, I was like, I need a mayo or a mustard or something. So I was like, I'll do ranch. And it wasn't, I was like, maybe ranch is really good on a sandwich, right? Because, like, people put it on pizza. People put it on their burgers. You put it on salads. Ranch is good on pretty much everything. And I was like, you know what? It's probably really good on a sandwich, too. And I was like, but, you know, if it's really good on a sandwich, then I feel like I would have heard about this.
Why? Yeah, why? Like, why do I not use this all the time?
Why isn't everyone doing this? Why are you going to, like, Jason's Deli and they're like, the new ranch turkey sandwich, you know? And the reason is because it's really not that good on a sandwich.
Yeah. I've done this before, too. And, you know, in the moment, you're like, whoa, ranch, did I just figure something out?
Yes, like, as you're putting it on, you're like, I just came up with something good, didn't I?
Yeah.
And then you eat it, and you're like,
it's like, oh, it's not that good.
I can see why this isn't a thing. Okay. So that was my, like, yeah, I had, like, a revelation while I was putting on, like, oh, I just invented something good, but then, no.
I'm sorry you had to experience that disappointment. That happens to me a lot whenever I try to make food, and it happens so
much. You're missing,
like,
one ingredient.
Yeah, and you improvise some other stupid ingredient, and in retrospect, it's like, what the hell was I thinking? You can't put that in there.
Have you done this recently?
I do it a lot.
What's your go-to improv fit ingredient, though?
It depends. Like, there was one time I was trying to make, like, this eggplant casserole.
Mm-hmm.
And you need a certain amount of ground beef.
Sure.
And I didn't have enough. So I was like, maybe I'll just use mushrooms.
You didn't have it on ground beef, but you randomly had mushrooms.
I chopped them up. I thought it would be like a similar consistency. Doing like a MasterChef moment.
Sure, sure. But you had ground beef as well, so you like kind of combined them.
Yeah, I only had half a pound though, so I used a container of mushrooms too.
How did that work out for you? It did work out.
It wasn't very good.
Well, you know, mushrooms, ground beef, whatever, it's the same thing.
It's basically the same.
The only real thing you can get away with substituting is anytime something's asking for oil, you can generally just do butter, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Butter and oil are pretty interchangeable, because they're fatty. But everything else, you gotta kind of think long and hard, like, is this gonna actually work? As a substitute. I don't know. But anyway, in case our listeners were wondering, ranch on a turkey sandwich? Not that great.
No, not that good.
I've done the same thing. I'm so glad you've done the same thing. Like, when you told me that pre-podcast, I was very excited.
Yeah, no, I knew exactly what you did. You were just like, my sandwich isn't very good. I'm like, I bet you were trying to get mayonnaise, but you didn't.
Because you always have ranch. That's like the thing that everyone has in the refrigerator, regardless of who they are. Even if they don't eat salads, they have ranch in the refrigerator. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you have one recipe, and it calls for ranch. Like, you're going to make a salad one night for some reason. Uh-huh. You're having a crisis.
Yeah, exactly.
And you buy, like, the 32-ounce ranch, because you're like, you know what?
Enormous.
I'm going to make more salads from now on. I'm definitely going to use this ranch. And you never do.
But then the ranch is there, sitting in your refrigerator. And it, like, never goes bad, so.
Maybe it does, but I use it anyway. I
mean, it probably does. But it has so many preservatives. Speaking of salads, though, your joke about having a salad once and then never having it again, that's normally what I do. But I've been eating salads more. Like, I had a salad 3 times last week for dinner.
Wow.
I know. That's the most I've ever had a salad in a 1 week span.
Did you discover, like, some new kind of salad you like?
At H-E-B, which is the grocery store we have here, it's no Publix, but they have these, like, pre-made salads.
Yeah.
That, like, come in a bag, and they have, like, all the ingredients you need, basically. You, like, dump it in a bowl, and then, like, they have, like, some packets you throw in there, and you kind of just mix it up and put the dressing in, and, you know?
Yeah.
And those are really good, and I've also noticed that, like, I can, like, just grill some, like, grilled chicken or something and throw in there. Mm-hmm. And it's, like, a really good salad. It's really easy. And most of the time, I don't really like salad a lot. Like, I don't hate it. It's just not something I'm like, But these are all really good salads, so I've been, like, eating those lately.
Yeah, they have those same salad bags at my grocery store. I buy them, too. They're really good.
They are good.
I think the thing about salads, it's hard to make a good one if you don't know what you're doing, which I don't.
Yeah.
But if they, like, give you, like, the Lego set of salads where it's just, like...
Yeah, they're like, all these things go together. Just throw them together. You're like, okay.
And then you actually do get something pretty good.
Yeah. But what I've been doing is just, like, grilling some meat, you know, because we have, like... We don't have a grill, but we have, like, a skillet thing.
Yeah.
So, like, I've been just grilling up some random meat, throwing it in the salad, and it's like, okay, it's, like, more of a meal that way.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I did that, like, 3 times last week. So I'm very impressed with myself.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. But, you know, I still counteract it by randomly going to fast food, you know.
Yeah, do you find that if you eat healthy for 3 or so days in a row, the next day you have to just eat, like, 2,000 calories worth of garbage in, like, one sitting?
So, like, so last week I had a salad, like, Wednesday, like, Tuesday and Thursday or something, and then, like, over the weekend I went out on Saturday, but on Sunday I had a salad for dinner. So, like, effectively I had a salad, like 3 salads in, like, 4 days, you know what I mean, like, for dinner.
It's a lot of salad.
And on Monday, I'm at work, and normally for lunch at work, I eat something, like, light. Like, they have a lunch service that just drops, like, they'll have sandwiches, or they'll have, like, something light, you know, that I can eat at work.
Yeah.
Or I'll just skip completely and have a granola bar or something very light. But that Monday, I was like, I need, like, 2,000 calories worth of cheeseburger, like, right now. So I, like, went out. And I never do this, but, like, I went out and had a cheeseburger for lunch at Whataburger. And, like, that's normally a dinner meal because it's so big.
Yeah.
But I was like, no, I gotta have it now for lunch. So, yeah, I don't know. It definitely works against itself sometimes, like, having that much healthy food makes me want to just eat more unhealthy food later. is what it is, I guess.
So last week on the show, we were talking about the Google AI Council that they were just getting started.
Yeah, and we made a better one.
We made a really good one. It, you know, Google went with the classic approach of you get all the smart dudes in a room and hopefully they do a good job.
Yeah.
Well, we have some follow-up news on that story.
On the story, yeah, what happened?
So they got all the smart guys together and they're all quitting. They didn't do that good.
How did that happen?
I don't know. Like, it was this council was supposed to meet for like years to come. They have like 4 meetings this year. They scheduled out a whole big, you know, itinerary for
and
these
then
people.
And they're like, this isn't working.
And I don't know if they're ever going to meet again.
What the hell? They're supposed to be smart. Like, they can't even do the one thing. Like, how hard is it just to have a conversation about ethics together?
Apparently really hard.
Man, our idea would have been so much better.
Yeah.
Those random people we brought ring together, they're not going to randomly quit the ethics committee.
No. They're getting $1,000 Bass Pro Shops gift card.
Yeah, they're going to go for it. These hoity-toity smart people, they're not gaining anything financially out of it because they're already rich.
Yeah.
So they're like, basically they're just doing it for the cred, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And if it's, like, dumb, they're just like, I'm out. This isn't fun. But random people that we, you know, that we recruit, yeah, hell yeah, they're going to do it. They'll be like, yeah, I want $1,000.
And that people that have, like, a vested interest in the outcome of the committee. Like, none of these people, their lives aren't going to change based on this.
Did the article you read say anything about why they disbanded?
It probably did, but I didn't read that far.
They have, like, that's, like, the quickest, and, like, that was so fast. Like, we only had one episode to make fun of this. Like, that's ridiculous. I thought we were gonna get, like, a good couple months out of making fun of this committee.
I thought they would at least come out with some, like, a couple statements first. Mm-hmm. Maybe they'd be, like, weird and, like, dodgy ethical statements, but no, they didn't even get that far.
Maybe they'd write, like, a one-page manifesto or something, you know, like, give me something, but nothing at all.
Yeah.
So I wonder if Google's going to try to assemble another committee.
Gosh, they should hire us.
They should. We made one in, like, 10 minutes last week that was better than, that I guarantee you is going to be better than theirs. I'll do it for free. I'll assemble the committee for free for them.
Same, yeah.
I'll do it.
I'll do it for fun.
I'll do it for fun. We did it for fun. Like, I know it'll take longer than what the time we spent last week, but I will do it for fun. I will do it as a side gig. No problem. Because I care about the future of AI ethics.
Yeah.
Unlike Google, apparently.
Yeah. Unlike the people they hired.
All right.
I'll tell you what probably happened. None of these people can possibly benefit from being on that committee.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess the instant they started talking about some serious ethical stuff, mm-hmm. it was just like, you know what? I can only hurt myself by contributing to this conversation. I'm out. I don't want to touch this.
That's true, because no matter what they say, someone can take it the wrong way. Because there are no right answers in ethics, right? So, like, if I was giving you the problem of, like, what if the car is about to run over an old lady or a young baby? You know, like, either way.
Yeah.
Either choice you make is a bad one.
Yeah.
So, like, no matter what they do, they're damned if they do, damned if they don't. So, like, they probably realized, like, oh, shit. Whatever we come up with, we could get completely torn apart for.
Yeah.
And they don't want that on their conscience. And that's why these ethical things don't work with people that are already, like, in power.
Yeah.
You know. Steve that works at Walgreens, like, he doesn't care. Like, he's... Like, he'll tell you like it is.
He only cares about, you know, the serious ethical matter at hand.
Real ethics, not his image. He cares about ethics.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the issue with the committee. They probably care more about their public image than the ethics themselves, which is stupid.
So, boo. That's a shame we don't get to make fun of them more, but oh well.
They'll probably come up with another ham-fisted committee that's, like, doesn't do anything, that'll dissolve as well.
Yeah. Maybe they should, you know, if they're going to take this approach where they only hire, like, super smart people with super amazing degrees, maybe they should just hire some actors.
You know, like, to pretend they're on a committee or something.
Yeah. Like, let's get Morgan Freeman. He's always on the ethics committee in the movies, right?
Oh, I see. You're getting some actors that, like, seem like they're responsible, like, smart humans or whatever.
Yeah, get a Morgan, not Robert Downey Jr. He's not a good choice.
Morgan Freeman, Michael Caine,
mm-hmm.
From, Batman, Helen Mirren, like, all older actors.
Yeah, Sigourney Weaver, they always call her, fought an alien.
She's good, yeah. yeah. Oh, what the hell is that guy's name? He was Hannibal Lecter. I forget his name.
Oh, it's, God, why can't I think of his name?
I forgot his name.
That's Hannibal. So everybody knows who he is, though.
That's so weird that I...
He has a really famous Twitter account.
Yeah.
Anthony something.
Anthony Hopkins.
Hopkins, yeah, there it is.
Yeah, he's on there for sure. Oh, Ian McKellen, right?
Yeah.
Because he's old and smart.
Yeah, all these people are like...
Patrick Stewart.
That's a good one.
Right?
But these are all like the old people that have played... Not all of them, but, played Star Trek captains and played, like, the old wise person in the movie.
That's who I want on my ethics committee. Yeah. That's fine. That's completely fine. Oh, who's that basketball player that has, like, a PhD?
Shaq?
Not Shaq. I don't want Shaq on the
ethics committee. Shaq is awesome.
Under no circumstances are we putting Shaq on the ethics committee.
Why not?
Because.
No, okay, here's what Shaq can do. He can be the moderator. Right? Because he's big. No one's going to mess with him.
Sure. He's on the ethics committee. I mean, Shaq is a smart guy. Like, he has a business degree. Like, he's an MBA now.
I mean, he's obviously very smart. God, I love this idea. This is like the Space Jam of ethics committees. Like,
Bill Murray is on the
Why isn't this a movie? Here's the premise. You remember that movie? You remember that movie, The Expendables?
Yes.
It's an ethics committee.
So Arnold and Sylvester Stallone are in it too, then, right?
No, it's only like smart people.
Okay.
No offense to them, they're smart, but like people with a smart image. And Shaq is the moderator.
I love the Space Jam analogy.
Yeah.
Can they do it, like, in a basketball stadium?
Yeah, no, for sure.
They ran out, like, a YMCA. It's in there.
Here's a great idea. We were going to talk about this on the show, too, but whenever Shaq discovers, like, a fallacious argument, he rings that basketball bell,
Yes.
And he's like, 3-point penalty for the home team.
He's wearing a referee.
He's got a whistle.
And it's sponsored by Gold Bond, because that's the thing he promotes on the...
Yeah.
Those are the commercials he's in. Oh, the Space Jam of ethics committees. Yeah, Bill Murray could be there, too. He's a smart guy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I think we got a pretty good list of smart people. I mean, it's mostly actors. We got one athlete, But no academics. That's the important thing.
No. Don't invite them.
Because they're not part of this.
Maybe you could get someone who is an actual academic, and his entire role is just to get shit on by everybody else.
Oh, that's a good one.
All his statements get shut down. He just looks like an idiot the whole time.
Yeah. Now, let me throw one out here, because this is on the line, right? Alex Trebek, right? That's kind of hard, because he's kind of both, right? He's a celebrity, but also smart.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about that one. Oh, we got to get the guy from Battlestar Galactica. The old one. The captain.
Oh, yeah. Captain Adama. I don't know his actor name.
But he's in there, though, right?
Yeah.
He's got to be. Right? He's smart.
I think he's my favorite captain in any
space
show.
And he's all wrinkly, so he's, like, really smart. Like, he looks smart. And he wears glasses. So, yeah.
I'll tell you. Have you ever watched Battlestar Galactica?
No, I haven't.
You should. But when Captain Adama speaks in Battlestar Galactica, it fills you with, like, this weird feeling that you're, like, on the ship, and he's like, wow, that's like my dad. That's Captain.
This guy knows what he's talking about.
Yeah.
I wish I could speak like that.
Me too.
Some people can just, like, speak and, like, really control, like, a room like that. But anyway, he's on the committee. He could be, like, the not the moderator, but, like, the host or whatever. Because he has a powerful voice, you know what I mean?
He could be, like, the bouncer. If anything gets way out of hand, he can tighten everybody together.
Tighten everyone up. Yeah, and they lock him in a room in the Space Jam Ethics Committee room. Mm-hmm. And then they film it all. And then they can make, like, a two-hour special out of it. And put it on, like, HBO or something, you know?
Yeah. You do, like, you give it a what's the Quentin movie that's 3 hours in one room? I know there's, like, a couple, but...
Oh, The Hateful Eight?
Yeah, you give it that kind of treatment.
They're not killing each other, are they?
Well, I mean...
Oh, Samuel Jackson, he should be on the ethics committee, too.
Yeah, he's in everything.
So he's gotta be on that.
Yeah.
He's in everything, so obviously he's on the ethics committee. No, duh. Kurt Russell, no, that's too much. Yeah, Kurt Russell wouldn't be good. I mean, he would be, but he wouldn't.
Do you want to do a first trivia question?
I would love to do a first trivia question.
Okay.
Sorry. I got sidetracked by thinking about the Space Jam of Ethics.
So, it's a good idea.
It is. All right, what do you got? Oh, right, it's my... Sorry, I'm out of it today.
It's okay.
All right, so your trivia today consists of three different categories. I've collected the best trivia on the internet for you. Your first trivia question category is nature. You should select one lifeline.
Okay, nature, I want to think I'm good at, so I'll choose 50-50. I'll save my strong 50-50 ones for later.
Mm-hmm. All right, so a tree measuring 4 feet by 4 feet by 8 feet, how many sheets of paper can you make out of a tree measuring 4 feet by 4 feet by 8 feet?
Okay.
Is it A, 900 sheets, B, 9,000 sheets, C, 90,000 sheets, or D, 900,000 sheets? Now, these are standard, you know, A2, whatever, paper.
Okay.
Regular size.
9,000, 90.
900, 9,000, 900,000, or 900, 9,000, 90,000, and 900,000.
Okay. 4 by 4 by 8.
Yeah.
So that's a few of me.
It's a decent sized tree.
Yeah, it's a big tree. Oh. I don't know. I have no idea. I think it could be any of these.
What's your instinct?
My instinct is it might be 900 because I feel like this might be a trivia question, one of those that makes you think, wow, like, paper actually is really wasteful. I should be, like, a little more careful.
Instead of just throwing it away like nothing.
Yeah, when I'm at work, if I print something, like, a little bit wrong, I just throw it in the trash.
Like, it's like that it's a smudge on it.
There's a smudge on it. Just throw it right in the trash.
But if it cost 900 sheets, if one tree was 900 sheets, you'd be like, well, man, I'm throwing away one 900th of a tree right now.
Yeah, which is actually a whole lot.
That is a lot. You can use
I'm going to use my 50-50.
Okay. It's either 900 sheets or 90,000 sheets.
Surely it's not 900. That would just be tragic. Like, if you go into our office at work, we have over 900 sheets in that office supply nook.
Yes.
Like, that's more than a whole tree.
There's a tree in there. There's probably multiple trees, like 4 trees in there.
Yeah, I'm trying to imagine if you stack those reams of paper on each other, like how many it takes to get.
How much does that look like a tree?
Yeah. Yeah, so I think if you stack like 8 of them, that would be maybe a... It can't be 90. That's too many.
90,000?
Four feet by 4 feet by 8 feet. There's no way there's like 90,000 of the Staples paper ream.
Maybe they have a good way to do it.
Maybe it's way better than I think. I don't know. I think if I say 900, that's the way more embarrassing thing to get wrong.
That's true. Oh, you got quite the conundrum on your hands on this one. What do you want to go with?
I think I'm going to go with 90,000.
Final answer?
Final answer.
90,000 is correct.
Yes. Good job.
It's not 900. You were almost considering it, though, for a second there.
I was thinking about it, yeah.
That's still, still wasteful, but not as terrible as 900. Yeah. That would be terrible. It was very terrible.
Yeah. That would make me want to get in the paper industry. Like, surely there's got to be
something we can do about this, right? They, like, haven't innovated in, like, 100 years, and they're like, yeah, it takes one tree to make 900 papers. Like, what? Like, yep, that's just the way it is. Gotta cut down the entire rainforest to stock one person's office. Oh, God. Anyway, but yeah, that was your first trivia question. So, you brought up a topic while we were discussing the Space Jam Ethics Committee.
Yes.
Which I think is interesting, which I wanted to talk about on the show, and that topic is logical fallacies, because Shaq is the controller of that.
Yes.
Space Jam Ethics Committees. And I noticed, I mean, I didn't notice now, but I've noticed, like, throughout the course of my life on the internet, that people love citing logical fallacies on the internet. Like, so much that they love it more than actually arguing. And they love it more than actually, like, getting to the truth of an argument. They just like the gotcha that is the logical fallacy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I was thinking about that recently because I saw this really funny tweet by someone I follow on Twitter. I think it was @forgotten-. But the tweet was that if you're arguing with someone on the internet, all you have to do is reply to their argument with "nice straw man" and you instantly win. And, like, I thought about it, I'm like, that's how, like, most arguments on the internet really go. It's just someone makes a good argument, someone replies with, like, some dumbass one-off logical fallacy. Like,
yeah.
And then they're like, I win. And you're like, what are you talking about? That's not how that works at all. I just wanted to know if you also shared a similar opinion on this one.
I don't argue on the internet ever.
Uh-huh.
Because,
but do you see what I'm talking about?
I do see what you're talking about, and I see it a lot, especially in a game we both play called Mafia, where the object is to convince people of things, and
that you're not
people
lying.
Really love those logical fallacies.
They do. It's a weird thing to me, because I like arguing, like, a lot, and I argue on the internet a lot.
You're
and
very good at it.
And I'm good. Thank you. I like to think I'm good at it, and I like to make, like, arguments. I don't like to, like, make assumptions. Like, I like to draw them out. So, like, if someone's arguing something, I'll, like, ask a question to try to get out some truth from them and then use their response to, like, continue. You know what I mean? Like, I'm very methodical with the way I'm arguing. So, like, every counter-argument I'll make is, like, builds up my case slowly and slowly. But then the thing that happens on the internet is you do that, and then someone's like, oh, you're committing a logical fallacy. They don't say it that astutely. They just say, nice straw man, or, you know, argument ad hominem, or whatever it is. And, like, the weird thing about making that comment is that a lot of times it's not really countering the argument I'm making in, like, any way. It's just saying that you could construe what I'm saying as a logical fallacy. I'm not going to defend why I think it's a logical fallacy. I'm just going to cite this logical fallacy. And it's weird. It's a weird way to argue, because it's not really... You're not really contributing anything to the argument. You know, you're just...
It tells you a lot about people's mindsets when they pull something like that, because they're not really interested in the topic, or... It shows a lack of interest on their part, and it shows that they're thinking about this argument like a wizard duel, right?
Yes, exactly.
Like, you're the big evil wizard, and they're going to use the Expelliarmus, or in this case, the nice straw man, magical phrase,
counter spell,
to instantly counter all this cool legitimate stuff you said and just shut you down instantly, and then they win. They're the winner.
And they think they can just win just like that. Yeah. And they don't need to do anything else. They're just like, Expelliarmus! And then you're like, what? And he's like, Expelliarmus, I win! And you're like, what? Wait, we haven't even talked about this at all.
And you're supposed to just hang your head like, damn, the Expelliarmus.
He got me!
He got me.
I'm like, damn it, Expelliarmus got me. Like, what is that? Did the argument end randomly because you said Expelliarmus? Like, do the were the points that were made, are they just, like, null and void now? It's like, well, that doesn't matter anymore because you cited Expelliarmus on me.
And it's really frustrating because if you take time out of the argument you've already built to respond to something like that, you weaken your argument.
You do, yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's the unfortunate thing because it's like, you have to, it's a distraction, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, they're like saying, oh, nice straw man. And you're like, what the hell is that? Like, a lot of time I'll see this and I'm like, this is fucking, this doesn't make any sense. Like, you're just citing a random, you like went on Wikipedia of logical fallacies and picked one and then just posted it.
Yeah.
You know? And so, like, if I took the time to explain while the other person is being an idiot, while they're being an idiot, now I've stopped arguing my point and I'm kind of like going into their, I've fallen into their trap, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is interesting, now that I think about it, because that would also be committing a logical fallacy, which is, I don't know what it's called, but it's the one where you try to talk about something else, where you're arguing deflection. About the point. Deflection, whatever, yeah. But, you know, I would never say that, because you know what I should do, now that I think about it? I should approach online arguments where people, where a person starts citing a logical fallacy, as like a wizard duel, like you said.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, he's doing a spell. Okay, I need to do a spell now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like, if he says, nice straw man, then I'll be like,
nice deflection.
Nice deflection. And then he'll be like, nice ad hominem. And then I'll be like,
And then you'll be like, you're wrong, actually. You didn't use that wizard spell correctly. It backfires and zaps you.
And I win, and I do 2,000 points of damage to you, and win. It's kind of like when you like played like when you were like a kid, and you played like games outside, like pretend games. Like, I'm gonna use my thing on you, and then the other kid's like, "No, you can't do that." And he's like, "Yes, I can. I kill you with my magic." And you're like, "That's not allowed." And I'm like, "Yes, it is." Like, that's basically what it sounds like when two people are arguing that way.
Yeah,
you know.
And we were talking about this on Twitter earlier, and I think you said something important, that logical fallacies are important to learn, especially if you're a young person that isn't used to, you know, being deceived.
Yeah.
As an adult, you learn all about being deceived in ways like your young people can't even imagine. Deception.
Yes, exactly.
But being able to identify that stuff is really important. But you can't just say, nice straw man, and leave it a day.
That doesn't do anything.
What you should do is, if your opponent or someone bad online is using a straw man argument against you, what you do is you say why they're using a straw man and why it's bad. Do not use the word straw man.
Like, don't say nice straw man. No matter what you do, I will consider that you have forfeited the argument at that point if you do that. But yeah, I think it's interesting because, like, people learn about logical fallacies at school or whatever. And I do think it's important to learn them because it's important to be able to identify them when something is bogus and just being like, oh, this is bullshit because it's a logical fallacy. But it's important to identify them not because you're arguing against them, but more so because you need to ignore that as a fake thing. Yeah. Like, if you read a news story about some bullshit and you see, like, there's a logical fallacy in this news story, then you're not going to post on the news story and be like, nice straw man. You're just going to be like, this is not correct, and you'll close it and never have to look at it again. You know, that's the point of logical fallacies, to distinguish what's worthwhile and what's not. It's not to, like, to like just randomly call it out on someone with no backup and be like, here we go, Expelliarmus.
Yeah. Then, like, if someone... People used to say this a lot, like, years ago. If someone says, like, all hippies are terrorists or violent people or whatever, you can say, actually, there's this information here that says you're wrong. Uh-huh. You don't say nice straw man. You say this image you're painting of this right. wide group of people is not accurate.
Right. You've identified they're committing a logical fallacy. It's not straw man. It's something else. But it doesn't matter what it is. Because you can say, you can cite why that is incorrect. Because you know that it is a fallacy, and then you can identify why it's a fallacy. Not just identifying the fallacy doesn't do anything. You have to say why.
Yeah, you're only on step two. Like
you don't a good arguer doesn't even need to identify the fallacy at all. They just know what it is, and then they just counter it with actual facts.
Yeah,
you know, later, but you know, whatever. It's almost like, you know, if I said nice straw man to you, and then I said nothing else. Okay, it's like you've identified the a part of my argument that isn't working, but you haven't explained why that actually applies to the counterargument. Like, you haven't backed it up in any way.
Yeah. You're not representing a counterargument at all.
You're just saying words at that point that you think mean something, but don't actually mean anything.
You know what it kind of reminds me of?
What?
So, you know those videos on YouTube where there are those people that try to yell the legal wizard words at cops?
Oh, yeah, they like, cite random parts of the Constitution or something?
Yeah, like, you can't pull me over, I'm a I'm a Constitution man.
I'm a Class A citizen, and you are committing felony because of Section 5, Article 3 of the state of Maine's penal code or something like
that. Yeah, and then they get tackled and arrested.
Because it's like, great.
Yeah.
You did it.
I think it's the same kind of person. I think these people think they're like wizard dueling with their little phrases.
They're being clever. Yeah. So you used the Harry Potter kind of analogy.
Yeah.
And I have another Harry Potter analogy for arguing. I think arguing on the internet, people think like that they're playing Quidditch, right? Mm-hmm. And the citing a logical fallacy is basically getting the snitch. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, the golden one.
And they just instantly win. Like, that's all they have to do. Just find it and then do it. And then even if you respond to that, which you shouldn't do, because they have no interest in responding back, they're not going to respond to you at all. So they've already, in their brain, they've already won. They're like, I did it. I won that one. And you're like, yeah, you did. You got me. You convinced me. Because if the point of argument is winning, then, I mean, I thought the point of arguing was try to convince other people of your point. But, you know, that's just me, I guess.
No. The key to arguing is being the winner at the end.
Winning the Quidditch match. Yeah. Being the best wizard you can be. The wizard of arguing. I don't even know where we are at timing in the podcast, but I feel like it should be time for your second quick trivia question. What do you think?
Okay, let's do it.
Okay. Okay, your next category is food.
Nice.
What lifeline would you like on this question?
I'm going to Monty Hall this one.
Oh, okay. I think you'll like this one. Okay. Only two countries in the world do not sell Coca-Cola. They are North Korea and what other country? Is it A, China, B, Cuba, C, Russia, or D, Madagascar?
I don't know the answer to this. I thought they sold Coke in Korea.
North Korea?
Yeah, I don't know why they thought that.
They sell it in South Korea, clearly, but not in North.
Oh, geez. Madagascar, Russia, and...
Cuba and China.
Cuba and China. I don't know the answer to this. I'm going to have to Monty Hall.
What are you thinking, though? Like, do you have any instincts?
So, Madagascar, this is bad. I don't know enough about African countries. It's in Africa, right?
Like, yeah, it's in Africa.
Okay.
It's an island off the coast of Africa.
All right. So, maybe it's hard to get Coca-Cola there because they have to ship it. But then we ship it to all these other places that are on the list, too.
Or just
so maybe
like, it's not. Madagascar, nah, we don't need to do that one.
China was one of them. Yeah. China has Coca-Cola for sure,
you
right?
Think so?
It's big. There's a lot of people there.
I don't know if it has Coca-Cola.
Here's my American perspective on China having Coca-Cola. Like, you can't deprive that many people of the sweet taste of cola, right?
Yeah, but they could have like their own Coca-Cola that's better than ours. You know, like National Chinese Coca-Cola. Or
it's the people's cola. What the hell? National Coca-Cola? That's such a good idea.
National Cola.
Have we thought of this before? No, this is brilliant. This is
new. So they would have like their own Chinese Coca-Cola that's like, and they would advertise it as, oh, it's way better than American Coca-Cola.
Yeah. Right. They do those, you know, when they used to do the taste tests on TV between Pepsi and Cola and ask people? They do that in the Chinese commercial, except, like, everyone obviously says the National Cola is the best.
Because they don't want to die.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, one person does say that Coca-Cola tastes better, and they just are immediately executed.
Off camera, but they're like, we got to take you to the back. Oh, God. National Cola. It's like the slogan is the people's cola. Oh, God. But they could have something like that. I know we joke, but they could.
I don't think they do.
It would be cool if they did, though, huh?
Yeah, that would be really cool. If we ever write a book or a short story or something, and there's a dystopian, like, way overpowerful government... Mm-hmm. We're including that.
They're gonna have National
Cola. There's gonna be a people's cola.
And it's gonna be created by the government.
Yeah.
And they technically don't have laws forbidding other companies from making their own cola. Mm-hmm. But like the government would like really try to not like clamp down on it, but like, you know, like secretly, you know, not let it be as good or whatever.
Yeah, because if you have the people's cola, you can't let any cola be better than that.
It's the people's cola.
Yeah.
It's the best. By Do you like National Cola or the People's Cola better as a name? I like both of them.
I think the People's Cola is more of a slogan.
National Cola is like the product name.
Yeah, I like that the best.
Anyway, back to the question. Only two countries do not sell Coca-Cola. They are North Korea and what other country? Is it A, China, B, Cuba, C, Russia, or D, Madagascar? National Cola.
Russia or Madagascar?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to use my Monty Hall, but I'll tell you what I think it is first.
Yeah, tell me.
Okay. I think it's Madagascar. Because I think you can get it in Russia. I think you can get it in Cuba. Mm-hmm. And you don't know
enough about Madagascar.
Yeah. I'm basing this like purely on my ignorance.
And you think they have it in China. Because they would, like, why wouldn't they, kind of thing.
Yeah, that's too many. It would be insane if they didn't have Coca-Cola. I hope they don't. But, like,
maybe they have National Cola instead. You don't know. I could totally see China doing this, though. Like, couldn't you? Like, you could see, like, maybe if they have cola now. We'll get into this after the question. So you're doing Monty Hall. You think it's...
Yeah, I'm going to lock in China.
You're locking in China? Mm-hmm. Okay. It's either China or Cuba.
Oh, wow. Okay. I'll do Cuba. Final answer.
Final answer? Yeah, it's Cuba. Correct. Madagascar gets cola, Russia gets cola, China gets cola, Cuba, North Korea. It's because Cuba is also communist, and I think they're very proud of being Cuba. And also, I think there's some weird thing where we can't export stuff to Cuba or something like that, so.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I was thinking it wasn't Cuba because of its proximity to the United States. Right. I thought, so like, close. Surely somewhere that close.
Yeah, I think cola. It's an export law thing, why Cuba doesn't do it. But... That being said, couldn't you totally see China doing this in, like, 10 years? Like, they're like, no more Coca-Cola. We have National Cola now. You know?
Do you know what I think I could see it as? Maybe not in 10 years, but maybe 50 years ago, mm-hmm. or whenever Coca-Cola was just getting started, mm-hmm. China saw that Coca-Cola was getting started. They sent over some spies. They started working at Coke, stole the recipe. They came back, and they decided to make their own National Cola.
Before Coca-Cola got there.
To start it at the same time. Mm-hmm. But in the future, Coca-Cola obviously got more popular. Maybe there still is national cola over in China, but it's just not big.
China would never allow it to not be big, though, if it was their national cola.
I mean, Coca-Cola's really big, though.
It's true. But China's China. They can do whatever they want, theoretically.
They can, but when it gets to be, like, the massive multinational, there's too much money to be made in allowing cola to be sold there.
That's true. That's true.
So I could see it as a relic of the past. This would be a good alternate history movie.
With national cola?
Yeah.
Yeah, the People's Republic of Cola. Yeah.
That whole story where they send over a spy and they have to steal the secret Coke recipe.
From Atlanta.
Yeah.
Georgia, because that's where it's made.
You know all those crazy stories you used to hear about how they used to protect the Coca-Cola secret recipe?
Yeah. But they still have that locked up somewhere, don't they?
Yeah, it's like safe deposit boxes and crazy, like, multi-key rooms and lasers, I'm sure. I want to see,
like, a documentary about that security system and how that works.
Yeah.
I don't think they let anyone in there, though. Like, you can't even, like, look at it if you wanted to. You know what I mean? Like, the vault.
Do you think it's just written on on like a piece of letter paper?
I hope it's written on a napkin, you know,
in Sharpie.
Yeah, like it's like John Coca-Cola was at a bar one day, and he was like, "This would be good in the Coca-Cola formula," and he wrote it on a napkin, and then that's the thing. I hope it's on a napkin somewhere.
Me too.
I hope it's not in a computer system. I mean, it probably is, though.
Surely they wouldn't.
Yeah, but okay, how are they making Coca-Cola then? So, like, they have the computers, that like, the factory that makes Coca-Cola. Every factory needs to know the recipe of Coca-Cola to make it properly.
That's true.
So they have, I mean, does every factory have their own vault with the Coca-Cola recipe that they, like, they reference or something?
How do they do this? This is really complicated.
I don't know!
Do they have, like, does John Coca-Cola travel around and, like, sprinkle a little bit of the secret sauce in every batch?
He's like Santa Claus or something. He's like, and for the finishing touch, I don't know. That logistically sounds like really a complicated challenge.
Yeah.
Because if that was the case and it was like, oh yeah, every factory has their own, you know, recipe that they reference, it would have been stolen by now, right?
Yeah.
100%. Right?
Maybe. Okay. Maybe every factory has the recipe, and it's the full, complete, correct recipe, but they tell people there's a secret ingredient.
There's not actually anything there.
They tell people there's actually, like, the John Coca-Cola Santa Claus person, and he stops by every batch after work.
No one sees him. He's just like,
he's not real.
He's like, what's the secret ingredient? It's like, well, you know, now at 2 a.m. every night, John Coca-Cola comes by and sprinkles the secret ingredient.
But he doesn't. Like,
it's a myth.
Yeah.
So everyone thinks there's a secret recipe, but in reality, it's just whatever recipe that every factory has.
Yeah.
Maybe every factory has, like, a piece of the recipe, and they, like, have to, like, come together. No, that doesn't make any sense. I don't know where I was going with that.
They have to connect all their... Yeah, they connect on the Coca-Cola-only internet.
The Coca-Net?
Yeah.
The Cola-Net. No, I think it's John Coca-Cola coming around.
Yeah.
Sprinkling something. Hey, seriously, though, how do they do... Like, this is... Sounds like a logistical nightmare.
Yeah.
Like, how do they do... Like, really? I know we're joking about this, but I really don't know how they do it.
Yeah.
Unless they, like, literally do have the recipe in every factory, which it would have been stolen by now, right? Like, that's just, like... The law of large numbers, like, it would have been stolen by now, right?
Yeah, like, enough people have quit Coke that don't, yeah. I mean...
100% have. Someone stole the recipe, if that's the case. I mean, maybe they just have really good lawyers, right? It's like, it's been stolen hundreds of times, but anytime someone's tried to publish it, they've suppressed it really fast.
I mean, we have the internet, though.
Yeah,
that's if true. You put a post online that was like, this is Coke's secret recipe, this is it right here, that would be big.
Yeah,
like,
They couldn't, like, they could take it down, but it would be stored somewhere.
Yeah, it's still out there. They could give it to WikiLeaks or something. People would believe it.
Like, how has the Coke secret recipe not been stolen already? That doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
Maybe
that's actually really amazing.
Like, no, seriously, how have they not been stolen? The only way they haven't been stolen is if it literally is in a vault in Atlanta somewhere. But then it doesn't make any sense because all the factories can make Coke. And how do they make Coke without the recipe?
Yeah.
Maybe every factory has a guy that has the recipe memorized. Okay? And he's like the Coke master, right? Yeah. And he knows the levels of all the things that needs to be put in. And he's like running the factory. And if he dies or whatever, like they need a replacement because nobody knows the levels. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but if you think, I mean, Coke has been around for a long time. There hasn't been one Coke defector man.
One, like, Coke master that defected?
Like, yeah. What do they have? They must have, I mean, in order to make that work, you would need some kind of weird semi-religious, like, kind of pact. Like, no, I'm serious. Like, no, you can't make a normal person not leak that stuff. Like, yeah. Someone would have.
Like, and some guy's on his deathbed. Like, he'd be like, the Coke secret recipe is this, you know.
I think the only way you can make a human being be that honest over, like, 100 years, or, like, hundreds of people, is to, like, have some kind of weird religious pact that you do.
So, the options are, Coke has a weird religious pact, A. B is, they tell all their employees that there's a Coke Santa that has the real recipe, and in reality, the secret recipe is not secret at all. And then what is C? I don't even think there's, that's it. There's no, those are the two options, I guess.
We couldn't come up with a C. That actually makes sense.
Those are the only two logical things that could be happening at Coke. There's a cult or there's a Coke Santa Claus. And that's it. That's it. Or the recipe is not actually secret. I mean, but that kind of goes back to the Coke Santa Claus thing, right?
Yeah.
I think the most logical thing is that the recipe really isn't secret, but they pretend it is.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, we would know. Yeah. It's wild.
That was really funny.
It's Coke Santa. Anyway, what else we got on the docket today?
I watched a movie last night. Do you want to talk about it?
Yeah, what did you watch?
I watched Wind River.
Yeah, how did you find it?
I loved it. It was really good.
Yeah, that's about the people up in, like, what are they, like, Alaska or Canada or something? Somewhere really snowy, right?
Yeah. There's a murder. It's like a crime drama. He has to go around.
Yeah, it was really good. It's not by Denis Villeneuve, but it's by the guy who wrote Sicario, which is directed by Denis Villeneuve. So... Kind of similar, I guess.
I kind of just wanted to talk about Denis. I don't know how to say his name. It's
Villeneuve.
Villeneuve. He's really good.
He is good.
I didn't know this before about a year ago, but he's really, really good. He's one of my favorite new directors.
So he did, what did he do? Blade Runner 2049.
Yeah.
He did Arrival. Did you like that?
Arrival? I loved Arrival, yeah.
Arrival was good. What else did he do? He did Sicario, which is really good. Yeah. Sicario, right. Which is also good.
He did Wind River.
He didn't do Wind River. We literally just talked about
that. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I keep attaching his name to it. Hell or High Water, I think.
Nope. The guy who did Wind River did that one, too.
Okay, well. He's still really...
You're Prisoners. Probably just... Prisoners. He did do Prisoners. That was a good movie.
That was good, yeah.
Have you seen Enemy?
He did that. Yes, but I didn't like that one.
Oh, okay. That was a weird movie. Can we talk about that movie really fast?
Let's talk about it. So here's why I didn't like it. Yeah, it was too yellow.
It was too yellow, that's it?
That's it. It ruined the whole thing for me.
It was too yellow. Yeah, they did have, like, a yellow. Do you remember the end of Enemy? I don't want to spoil it for our... Well, you know what? We're going to spoil Enemy. If you don't want to hear Enemy spoilers, pause the podcast and go, like, 2 minutes into the future. The spider, remember that part?
Yeah.
That was so weird.
That was the only one of his movies I didn't really like. And it's just because I'm really sensitive about stuff like making the whole movie yellow.
That movie was too yellow for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he's a good director. And he's doing the Dune movie now.
He is.
Have you heard about that? Yeah.
So
it's going to be something.
That's really ambitious.
It is ambitious. That's like the most ambitious movie ever, I feel like.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on in Dune.
I don't really know how that's going to work. Dune is like if you took the Bible and then made it science fiction.
Mm-hmm. It's like the science fiction
Bible. With evil corporations in it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's a really good book.
Science fiction Bible.
Okay. But there's a lot going on.
There's like a whole... Don't they have like a big like appendix in the back of Dune that's like basically a glossary of all the stuff that's happening in Dune? Like basically an encyclopedia in the back of the book of like facts about the Dune universe and stuff?
Like I remember reading that. I haven't read it since high school, but I don't remember mine having that. But there is a lot of terms. Mm-hmm. They go really deep into all the corporations and religions and their various lore, their mythologies and stuff, which is super cool.
But it's super complicated.
Yeah, but it's super complicated. And when I think of Dune, when it comes to movies, I think of that David Lynch movie.
Yeah, that was weird.
Did you see that? It was bad.
Yeah. It was bad.
It was really bad.
I like David Lynch, but I don't like that movie. But it was weird, so, you know, there's that, I guess. I just want to see the sand monsters.
Big old worms.
Big old worms. I was reading about this one day. I've never read Dune. I've seen the David Lynch movie. And I was like, I went down a Wikipedia hole of the sandworms in Dune, and there's like a lot going on with the sandworms in Dune. I thought they were just kind of a fun, like, oh, they're giant worms, they eat people, you know? It's like, no, this is like very integral to the whole story of Dune.
Yeah.
Which is they have like a bunch of life cycles. Like they start as like little baby worms, and if you kill them at a certain point, they disintegrate a certain way that creates the spice or whatever.
Yeah.
And when you eat the spice, you can, like, time travel or something. I don't remember what you could do. But, like, super powerful. And you can, like, be psychic or something. But it's all revolves around the worms.
Yeah. And the like, worms are simultaneously eating this tribe of people. And they're, they're like, trying to be exploited by these big governments. And... Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The Messiah is there, his name's Paul, and he has to
get trained. But he can, like, control the worms or something like that, right? Like, if you eat enough spice, you can, like, control the worms or something. I don't know, it's really weird. But yeah, I want to see the worms in a movie. It'd be cool.
Yeah, they kind of remind me of, like, dogs in a way. Like, kind of like, maybe not dogs, but like a dog sledding kind of thing, where you need this creature to survive. They're integral to... culture,
society.
Yeah.
So isn't the Dune universe like Dune is just one of the planets, right?
Yeah.
Like there's a bunch of planets, but Dune is like a planet, like it basically has gold. I mean, not really, but like that's what spice is. And that's like the only place you can get it in the galaxy or whatever, right? So it's like hotly contested or something like that, right?
Yeah, and the book is the story of
Paul,
the Messiah, trying to do a bunch of stuff. There's a lot that happens. Do a bunch of stuff, and it's really cool.
A lot of worms, and a lot of tribes, and a lot of companies, and blah, 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 blah. Yeah, but we'll see how Denis Villeneuve works out for Dune. I don't know. It's very ambitious, but we'll see.
Yeah, I like that he uses Jake Gyllenhaal a lot, too. That's not related to Dune, but I really like him.
Jake Gyllenhaal's a really good actor.
He is.
He's probably one of my favorite actors. He's so weird. Like, I feel like if I was an actor, I would go... And I had a conversation with my wife about this recently. Because I like almost all Jake Gyllenhaal movies. Because he picks movies that are really weird and kind of odd, you know?
Yeah.
But he, like, does it on purpose because he just likes those kinds of things. If I was an actor, I would have a very similar career to Jake Gyllenhaal. Because I like those weird movies, you know?
Yeah, I've heard that he brings weirdness to all the films he works on, too. Like, you know, in Prisoners, for example, it was his idea to wear a mason ring and have, like, all this weird Masonic stuff about his character. And they didn't touch about it in the movie whatsoever.
That's so cool. He just created a character.
Yeah, he's just like, this is what I feel like the character would be.
And you're like, whoa, that's so cool.
Like, is that a Mason ring? It's like, yeah, actually.
Don't worry about it. It's not important.
Don't worry.
That's so cool. He, like, develops this weird backstory. Yeah, he's good in everything. Oh, Jake Gyllenhaal. I wonder if he's going to be in Dune. Probably not. But
I hope he's Paul.
He's not.
He's a little old to be Paul, but
he's not Paul.
Yeah.
But he could be someone. He could be Paul's uncle or something. I don't know. Isn't that a character in Dune?
I don't think he's going to be in the movie.
You know what about, you know, anytime you're adapting a story, I've noticed this recently. Anytime you're adapting a story from a piece of fiction and you like have like, oh, this person's going to be this, this person's going to be this. And then you're like, I really want to put actor in this movie. All you have to do is be like, okay, they're such and such's uncle, you know?
Yeah.
And if they're in, like, if their uncle's not in the original story, it doesn't matter because like you need this person in the movie. Like, they're their uncle now, you know? You can always insert an uncle into a story. Yeah. Like, almost certainly anywhere, you can always insert an uncle.
Everybody's got an uncle.
It's true. And, like, they can't... It doesn't need to affect the plot that much. Because if the plot is like, oh, their parents died or whatever, like, it doesn't matter. Your uncle isn't going to raise you. He just is an uncle. So, like, you just insert anybody you want to be the uncle. For fun.
I'm just imagining a movie. Like, they just need to have Samuel L. Jackson for some reason.
Yes.
And he just shows up on screen and he's like, hey, I'm Samuel L. Jackson. Did you know that?
I'm your uncle. Like, what?
He, like, winks at the screen, like...
I'm your uncle, and then he, like, walks away. And that's, like, the whole movie.
That's the only thing you see.
It's this whole thing. He just wanted to be in the movie. Like, Quentin Tarantino puts him in a lot of his movies, right? So it's like, oh, Sam Jackson's got to be in this. Like, I don't really have a character for him. Oh, he can be this guy's uncle. That's perfect.
He's in one scene.
It's like, Uncle Sam, what are you doing here? Uncle Sam, see what I put there. Oh, man. What else is going on today? Did we do our last trivia? I don't think we did. Is now the time to do it? I'm so off with the show right now.
I think we broke at 30. So
okay, let's do it. Let's do that.
Okay.
Okay. Your final trivia question of the day is, your category is history.
All right.
Yeah, we broke at 30, so we have like 10 minutes left, I think. That sounds right.
I'm going to do 30-second Yahoo.
Okay, 30-second Yahoo. You know the Black Death, the plague or whatever?
Yeah.
You know, from Europe, you know, you're familiar with that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The Black Death is a name recently created by historians. Back in the day, during the plague, it had another name by the people who were suffering from it. What was that name? Was it A, the Great Mortality, B, the Final Repose, C, the Eternal Rest, or D, the Wrath of God?
These are all really cool names. Will you say these again?
Yeah, so the Black Death's name, it was called while it was happening. Either the Great Mortality, the Final Repose, the Eternal Rest, or the Wrath of God.
Why did we decide on Black Death? These names are cooler.
I also want to mention that these names could all be the subtitles of some weird movie.
Yeah, Resident Evil.
The Final Repose. Yes, it's all Resident Evil sequels.
The Wrath of God.
That's the last one.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to have to use my Yahoo for this.
Okay.
What were the names again? I'll say what I think it is.
Great Mortality, Final Repose, Eternal Rest, or Wrath of God.
Okay. So this was Europe,
mm-hmm.
and it killed like a third of Europe. I think this was in the Dark Ages.
Bunch of people.
So Dark Ages makes me think religious, and religious people usually attribute sufferings they're experiencing to, like, the Wrath of God.
Sure.
So I'm going to go with Wrath of God is what I think it is.
Okay. How long do you get for this one for Yahoo? I don't remember.
I think it's 30.
30 whole seconds. Wow, all right.
I'm going to need it.
All right, whenever you're ready.
Okay, let me know when to start.
3, 2, 1, Yahoo.
Okay, Black Death, other name. What other names did the Black Death go by? Okay, Black Plague, Bubonic Plague, called it the Blue Sickness. Is what website am I on?
Blue Sickness, you have 5 seconds.
Thank you, Yahoo. Obama, great. Here we go.
Your time is up. Oh, God.
So I opened up this page from Yahoo. It's like a weird quiz site. And I don't think any of these are real.
Obama. Oh, God.
Is so La bad. Pestilence one of them?
No, La Pestilence is not one of the answers. Oh, God, that's so horrible.
Oh, man. No, no, no. Here's one. One person on this Quora site says another one, the Great Mortality.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, that was one of them.
I don't know if that's it, but
are you gonna go with that one?
I'm gonna go with that one. Final answer.
The Great Mortality is correct. Good yes. job, Quora person. You got lucky that you found that Quora site at the end there. What was the first site you went to?
This is the only so one I had weird. Time to go to.
That's so weird. Oh, this is all one Quora page?
Yeah, there were like comments.
Someone said the blue something.
So the author is like, did you know that it was also called the bubonic plague?
Uh-huh.
And underneath we have the black plague, mm-hmm. and then you have Obama, and then you have blue sickness, and then you have the great mortality.
Oh, God damn it. That's really funny. but now you know the Black Death was called the Great Mortality, which is a much better name than the Black Death. Yeah. But, yeah, these all could be Resident Evil movie names. Resident Evil, the Great Mortality. Anyway, don't we have some Reddits today? I feel like we haven't gotten any of them, but we have a few. You have a few, don't you?
We have a bunch.
Let's go with some.
Let's so
do it.
I'm going to start with the one from Ask, because I thought it was really funny. It's not a good question, but it's funny.
I don't care.
Thank you, Random Letters 45,
for
saying this. He asks, is it illegal for schools to have bed bugs and not take care of them? And there's a subtext. He says, not take care of them as in take care of them, as in get rid of them.
Like take care of them.
As in like
murder them.
As in give them snacks and a place to sleep.
I don't think it's illegal. Do you think it's illegal?
I think actually, it is.
I don't know. Is it illegal? Okay.
Yeah.
See, it's illegal for a school to know it has them and do nothing. But it wouldn't be illegal for a school to just have them and not know about it, you know?
I think it might.
Really?
Oh. Yeah, I think you have to have someone come check, because those are really serious.
So there you go. Yes, it is illegal. The end. That was easy.
Yeah. I just think it's funny. This person's like, not take question. Care of them. Like, get
not
rid of
take
them.
Care of them, but take care of them. Right. Like you feed them or something.
Yeah.
That's why would you do that?
I don't know. This person's just really...
Maybe this person likes bed bugs. Do you think there's someone out there that, like, has bed bugs and, like takes care of them, like, feeds them and stuff?
Yeah. Maybe they heard all these bad rumors about bed bugs growing up, and when they finally got them, they were like, you know, now I have someone to take care of, and I can,
yeah, it's like these aren't so bad. Oh, maybe.
Sure, they bite me every night, but...
but they're well-meaning.
Yeah. This was posted by Yeah, I Roll Tide. Thank you, Yeah, I Roll Tide. He says, you've just created Road Rage, a superhero that beats the ever-loving smack out of asshole drivers. Now you must give him an enemy. Who is
Ooh,
it?
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't know, like No Blinker Man or something would be a good one, right? That's not that interesting of an enemy, though.
Yeah, that's like a low level.
That's a thug. Yeah, just a low level thug. Who would be the worst enemy for
road rage man.
A man that just gets really angry and beats people up.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many things you could do as a driver to instigate road rage that I don't even think you could narrow this down into one thing. What were you going to say?
How about doctor inebriation?
Just a drunk person. Yeah.
See, adding doctor to anybody just makes them a supervillain automatically.
Yeah.
He, like, does science to get drunker and drunker. Like, he's trying to scientifically find the most drunk you can get.
Yeah.
While not dying. That's, like, his life's goal.
He created alcohol vapors that he pumps into the sewer system and makes everybody really drunk.
I'm going to rename him really quick. It's not going to be much of a change. But instead of Dr. Inebriation, we're going to call him Dr. Inebrio.
Yeah, that's awesome.
See?
Yeah.
And he like stumbles around all the time. But he's like really smart. Oh, he's smart because, okay, when he was in college, he realized that he does his best work while drunk.
Mm-hmm.
So he tries to constantly be drunk so that he can do his best work. But in order to constantly be drunk, he needs to up the alcohol he's consuming more and more because his body gets used to it.
Yeah.
So he has like this very complicated system of being constantly drunk all the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's like a Bane mask.
Yeah, it's like the Bane mask. Dr. Inebrio. There you go. There's the thing.
This was asked by Half Entity. He asks, you will have an IQ of 300 for the next 24 hours. What do you do?
Oh my god. I haven't never thought about this before, but I really am curious now. I don't know what I would do. God, I see, here's the thing about this question, right? If I spontaneously got the IQ of 300, I would probably know what I need to do.
Yeah.
For the next 24 hours. Like, I couldn't plan this now because my IQ isn't 300. But if it was, I'd probably be like, I know what I should do, and then I would do it.
Wouldn't it be funny if, so a genie tells you, a week from now, I'm going to give you the IQ of 300 for a whole day. Huh. And you make all of these plans that are, like, really involved. And as soon as your IQ hits 300, you look at the plans and you're like, what the hell? Was I? This is so stupid.
This is idiotic. What idiot wrote this shit? And then you come up with a new plan in, like, 30 seconds. And then you're like, I'm going to do this.
Instead. And then you do it. That's a good point.
I mean, yeah, it's stupid to plan when you don't have the IQ of 300. Because when you get the IQ, you'll know what you need to do for 24 hours that's the best for you. It would probably involve, like, making smart, like, monetary decisions or something like that. I don't know.
Maybe it would. Maybe
it would. I don't know. What do you think you would end up doing if you had an IQ of 300?
My knee-jerk reaction would be just sleep all day.
Why? That wouldn't do anything, though.
Because I feel like if I had the IQ of 300, I would just go crazy.
For one day.
Yeah. And plus, like a day, is that enough to really get a whole lot of stuff done?
I know what I would do.
What would you do?
I would go on Jeopardy.
Jeopardy? That's a good one, yeah.
But then, see, you'd need... that doesn't really work.
Or you don't blackjack.
You don't gain any knowledge. Blackjack would be good, because then you're smarter. You can quickly analyze the cards.
Yeah.
Jeopardy, you wouldn't have more knowledge. You'd just be smarter. You could learn a lot in that day, right?
I don't know if IQ makes you like read faster, but you could absorb more from reading.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
But do you retain it after it's done?
Maybe.
Maybe.
I would try. Okay, here's what I would do. I would open YouTube...
Mm-hmm.
And type in, like, math. And then I would just autoplay all the videos. And then hopefully a 300 IQ would allow me to understand everything that's going on.
That is hilarious.
And then I would know a lot of math.
Google, like, good math videos.
Because I feel
feel like now if I try to learn math on YouTube, I'm like, I don't know what the hell this person's talking about. But if I had IQ at 300, I could probably more easy to comprehend it, you know. And maybe I'd learn it and then I'd retain it for later.
Yeah. That's a good idea. I mean, when you need to learn math, like right now.
Exactly. Yeah, that's my answer. I would type in math on YouTube and just go crazy. What would you do?
I really think that I would just take the day off because, I don't know, I have this fear sometimes that if I ever were to get some kind of epiphany or super strong moment like that, the idea of it being fleeting and then I would never be able to get it back is just too much for me.
Because you could have an epiphany or revelation while you have 300 IQ and then be like, this is a great idea. And then the next day you forget it and you're like,
And you knew that you had it, but you just don't know what it was. That's
the worst feeling in the world. And then I'd probably, this is going to sound dark, but I'd probably kill myself.
No, you wouldn't.
Who's our sponsor today, Bat Six?
Our sponsor today is Meat Zest flavored flavor packets.
When you're feeling like you need some, you need to zest up your meat.
Use Meat Zest.
Strong. Use Meat Zest. Remember when you're feeling kind of zesty.
Have dinner with your bestie.
Aw, good night, everyone, and drive safely.
See you.
Bye.